This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. I've been waiting for you, and we're about to get started again on the brand new series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. Why in the world is there so much confusion on this subject when the Bible is so clear? And this 20-part series comes with a wonderful study guide that has all the points, the principles, the Greek words, everything in the series is in the study guide, so you can read the material while you're seeing or hearing the series. That really causes the teaching to get down deep inside you. And we're offering you now my book, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. On the cover of the book, it shows the angel blowing the trumpet, the church being raptured, the Antichrist suddenly appearing. And of course, the foreword is written by my dear friend, Jimmy Evans, who is such a professional when it comes to the subject of end times. But order this book, you will devour it. And by the way, it's fully illustrated. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And please, when you reach out to us, and in fact, whether you call to order anything or not, if you've got any need on your heart, reach out to us. We want to pray for you. We are people of prayer. And we believe that a major part of our ministry is to receive your phone call or your email and to pray for you. And how I wish you could see the testimonies of people that have reached back to us to tell us God answered our prayers. The testimonies are amazing. And I believe there's a testimony with your name on it waiting for you. So whatever's on your heart, I know you can pray by yourself, but there is agreement and power when we agree together in prayer. So reach out to us. We'll pray with you, and Jesus will do exactly what needs to be done. But in the last programs, we looked at the rapture of the church. First of all, we saw that the word rapture really is biblical. Then we saw who's going to go in the rapture. That's very important. If you missed that program, please go back to the archives or order the series, because you need to know who's going to go in the rapture. Then we saw the dead in Christ are going to be raised. Then we saw exactly what's going to happen in the rapture of the church, according to what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, today we're going to move to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But first, I want to read again what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to begin in verse 14, where Paul says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," that's talking about those that have died in faith, "will God bring with him." Now, we saw in the last episode that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when a Christian dies in faith, immediately he's absent from his body. That word absent means he makes an exit from his natural home. And he becomes present with the Lord, which means immediately he's at home with the Lord in heaven, but his body remains in the earth. In heaven, he has a spiritual form. We know in heaven, people know each other, even though their bodies are still laying in the grave. But when Jesus comes, this verse says Jesus will bring with him everyone who has died in faith, and their bodies are going to be resurrected, and they're going to be reconnected with their bodies, but a resurrected form. But let's continue. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep." Verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." As a matter of priority, they're going to be raised first. "Then," and the Greek word means then, "at that very exact synchronized moment, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That word caught up, the Greek word harpazo, is translated in the Latin Vulgate version as the word rapture.
That's where the word rapture comes from, but it really is derived from this Greek word harpazo, which here is translated caught up, but it describes the rapture of the church. We shall be caught up together with them, that is with the dead that were just raised, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, which means this should be a comfort to you and not a terror to you. It's a wonderful thing that we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We just have to be sure that we're ready for that moment. But now I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, to the next major text where Paul describes the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, where Paul begins by saying, behold, I show you a mystery. The word behold in Greek is the word idu. It carries a sense of amazement, bewilderment, shock, wonder. And here as Paul is getting ready to describe the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church, he is so amazed by it that he injects into the verse his own sentiment. This word behold means wow, 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 listen to this. This is absolutely amazing. Get ready to hear what I'm about to say because this is going to blow you away. Behold, behold. And we see this word idu translated behold used all over the New Testament. For example, when Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions, it's the same word. Jesus was so excited, he said, wow, listen to this. I'm going to give you authority over serpents and scorpions. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, behold, I'll be with you always to the end of the age, that word behold can be translated, wow, this is so wonderful. Listen to this good news. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. It always carries a sense of amazement, bewilderment, shock, wonder. And now by using this word, behold, the Greek word idu, as Paul is getting ready to describe the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church, he injects the little word idu. It means, wow, 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 hold on and listen to what I'm about to tell you because this is going to completely blow you away. And then he says, I show you a mystery. The word mystery in Greek is the word mysterion. It denotes a hidden thing. It can be translated as the word mystery or a secret that is not naturally knowable and that can only be known by divine revelation. Well, when you study the pages of the New Testament tells us 9 mysteries have been made known to us. Now, I cover all 9 of these mysteries in this wonderful book that I want you to order. All the mysteries are here in this book. But now Paul's talking about the mystery of the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church. And Paul, by using this word mystery, lets us know that previous generations did not know about this. This was newly revealed. It was divinely revealed. And he says, here's the mystery. Verse 51, we shall not all sleep. And the word sleep describes the sleep of death. It is exactly the same word which we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, where Paul describes the dead in Christ which are asleep. And I want you to understand, it is no more difficult for God to raise the dead than it is for you to wake up somebody in the room next door. He just rouses our dead bodies and bam, we wake up. That's what's going to happen in the resurrection. But in this verse, in 1 Corinthians, Paul states explicitly that not everybody is going to die. Not everyone is going to fall asleep in Jesus. He says there's actually one generation of authentic believers that will escape death. Could be our generation. As we well know by now, when Jesus comes, we know this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. When Jesus comes, those that are asleep in Jesus, those that have died, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Their dead bodies are going to be reconnected with their spirits when they come with Jesus. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, in that very moment, we're never going to taste death. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. There really is one group of authentic believers who will never taste death. That's what this verse means. Now, some people say, oh, come on, this is a fantasy. You mean there's going to be a generation of people that will not taste death? Well, I don't know why you wouldn't believe this. If you look at the Bible, there have been multiple raptures in Scripture. Enoch was raptured. He never tasted death. Elijah was raptured. He never tasted death. This is not a brand new concept. This has happened in times past. And if God can rapture one, why can't He rapture everybody that's alive in this particular moment? And that is what Paul says is going to take place. And these raptured saints will be the remaining remnant of spiritually alive believers who've endured everything and who will be alive at the time of the rapture of the church, and they will be suddenly and supernaturally snatched out of danger just in the nick of time, transported into the clouds to meet the Lord with those that have just been resurrected. And Paul then adds in verse 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed. The word all refers to those that have died in faith and those that are still living. And this verse says we're going to all be changed. The dead are going to be changed. We know that. They're going to be supernaturally raised from the dead. But we which are alive and remain, we also are going to be changed. We're not going to be transported into the presence of the Lord in our bodies as they currently are. In fact, this word change means to alter, to change, to exchange one thing for another, or to completely transform. And it means at that moment, both the dead bodies of the righteous and the living bodies of vibrant believers will miraculously be altered, changed, exchanged, and transformed into new types of bodies. It will be instantaneous, it will be miraculous, and it will be a supernatural transformation. Just imagine if you were just sitting there and all of a sudden, the shout takes place, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead are raised, and then you instantly are transformed. And the Bible says this is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to see this in just a moment. But the RIV of 1 Corinthians 15, 51 is this. What I'm about to tell you is so amazing that it nearly leaves me speechless, and I'm sure it will totally flabbergast you. Listen carefully, for I'm going to tell you something that was previously an unknown mystery, but it's now been revealed to us, and here it is. All of us will not die, but in this particular moment, all of us, both the dead and the living, those who are spiritually living, spiritually robust, spiritually thriving, spiritually vibrant, and spiritually vigorous, will be altered or changed, miraculously modified, and supernaturally transformed. My friends, that is the clear teaching of Scripture. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, it's going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Look at the verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Well, what does the Bible mean when it says in a moment? The word moment in Greek is the word atomos. It's where you get the word for an atom. And of course, an atom is so small you can't see it with the natural eye. But this word moment describes an indivisible moment, a split second, or an instant. It is where we get the word atom, and it denotes something tiny or microscopic. And in this case, it pictures a microscopic, indivisible moment of time. And then Paul clarifies it by calling it the twinkling of an eye. I remember when I was growing up, I knew this scripture about being changed in the twinkling of an eye. And I remember looking in the mirror, trying to catch a twinkle in my eye to see how fast is the twinkling of an eye. Well, let's talk about the twinkling of an eye. The Greek word actually describes a twinkling, a twitch, or a blink, or something that happens so fast it is undetectable. One scholar, and I'm reading from my notes because I want to get this right. One scholar notes the speed of an eye twitch or a blink of an eye is a tenth of a second or 100 milliseconds. My friends, that's important and that's fast. To try to understand how fast this event is going to take place, just look into the mirror and blink. Just look into the mirror and blink and see how long it takes for you to close your eyes and open your eyes. Paul used this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, to tell us how fast these events are going to take place. Before you can close your eyes and open them again, this event is going to be completed. That is amazing. In a microscopic, indivisible moment of time, like the twinkling twinch or blink of an eye, the bodies of the righteous dead and those who are alive, living vibrantly in their faith, are going to be transformed, and they'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Is that amazing? That is just amazing. Scholars agree that this phrase, twinkling of an eye, are used to signify how speedily and suddenly this event is going to transpire. And I want to say again, before you can open and close your eyes, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. But notice then again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, the trump shows up again. The trump shows up again. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, many people try to extrapolate this to describe some kind of a Jewish trumpet, and maybe it does. But we don't need to do that because the Greek word is sufficient by itself. Even the word last is so very important. I'm going to get into this. I want you to understand it. The word trump is the Greek word salpinx, and the word salpinx was a word very known in the Greek and Roman world. It was very well known. It was a war trumpet that announced the commencement of battle. In addition to summoning troops to battle, the blast of this particular salpinx trumpet was intended to be a declaration from the outset of a military campaign that ultimate victory and the vanquishing of all enemies was about to occur. It's a war trumpet blasting a big battle. And when this trumpet is blasted, not only will it summon us from the graves, it will be God's declaration that He is waging war with the unrighteous on the face of the earth. And not just that He's waging war, it will be His declaration that He's going to win. He's going to vanquish all enemies. That's what it means. And this word trumpet was also used in the context of a court. Legally, it was used to describe the blasting of the trumpet, which meant a verdict has been reached, and now judgment is going to be executed upon the guilty. And my friends, you have to understand that chronologically, when the dead are raised and when the church is raptured into the presence of the Lord, that's when war is going to take place on the earth. That's when the great tribulation is going to take place. And I want to note, the Bible tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ. Do you know that before war takes place, a country always calls its ambassadors home? They always remove their ambassadors from the conflict. And before the war really begins, God's going to call His ambassadors home. That's the rapture of the church. We're going to be caught up with the Lord in the air. And that's when war is going to begin on earth for 7 years. This really is what the Scripture teaches. Oh my goodness, this is so powerful. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And there's something else about this word last that is very, very important. It means the church age will be closed at this moment and the tribulation will begin. Heaven's court will be ready to execute judgment against the ungodly. A grand battle with evil will take place, and God's foes will be ultimately vanquished. That's why it's the last trump. This is the last battle. God's going to deal with it all. And then verse 52 says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The word dead is the word necros, but here it is the plural version. But this word describes a lifeless corpse or a cadaver with no life left in it. It's talking about the dead in Christ, those that have died in faith. Their bodies are laying in the grave. And Paul says, at this particular moment, the dead bodies of the righteous are going to be raised. And listen to this, the word raised means to awaken, to arise, or to be resurrected. And it importantly depicts those that have died in faith rising or being resurrected. And it is the very word which was used to describe the arising of nobility and royalty, which means in the resurrection and in the rapture, we're going to become who we really are. Oh, it's amazing. We're going to become royalty.
And the RIV of 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, a split second, indivisible atom of time, as fast as the twitch of an eye, the last trump, a war trumpet, will loudly sound to signal the closure of the age. It will also signal that the final battle, ultimate victory, and vanquishing of all God's enemies are finally about to happen. That blast will be God's way of letting everyone know that his enemies have been judged by heaven's court of law, that they have lost their footing in long-standing battle with him, that judgment is about to be executed, and that he will reign victorious and supreme in total victory. And in that flash of a moment, the dead will be resurrected and will stand upright on their feet. And that is where we're going to begin in the next program. This is so exciting. I'm out of time, but I'll be back in just a moment. Someone has asked the question, how do I begin speaking in tongues? Well, that's a great question. You need to ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We're told in the Bible that he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and power. And in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. But notice it says the Spirit gave them the utterance. They had to speak it out, but the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. When I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was afraid to begin to pray in tongues because I was concerned that maybe I was just making it up. But one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, come on, Rick, let's get started. And I began to speak by faith, and it was like a dam broke, and suddenly pouring forth from the inside of me was this beautiful language. And my friends, today, praying in tongues is a very significant part of my life. And if you've never prayed in tongues, but you want to pray in tongues, it's really the language of your spirit. It's the most direct communication between your spirit and God, who also is a spirit. Just say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and begin to speak, and Jesus will enable you to begin to pray in other tongues.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, an end times countdown and what happens next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and right now I'm standing in the reception area of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and this building is just so wonderful. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And I know that is our assignment. God has called us to feed many people the trusted teaching of the Bible. And together with you and all of our partners, we really are taking the trusted teaching of the Word of God to the very ends of the earth. But this is the reception part of the Tulsa building, and every day thousands of phone calls come into this facility from people that are watching the program and who are reaching out for prayer. Right now, we've paid off about 78% of this facility, and that is just wonderful. But now we need to knock it out of the ballpark. We need to finish this, because when we're finished paying off this facility, that frees up finances so we can take the teaching of the Bible to more places across the face of the earth where people are crying out for someone to feed them the Word of God. And so today, if you're not already a part of our giving team to pay off this facility, I'm asking you to join us as a part of our ministry expansion project to pay off this facility, and we can say done, finished, and give glory to God. But my friends, we can only do it with your help. So thank you. If you're already a part of the team, and if not yet part of the team, please join us as a part of the giving team to pay off this facility so we can be finished with it and use these funds to take the gospel further to other places across the world.
Well, we have covered a lot of information today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. My friends, the teaching about the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church is so clearly taught in Scripture, and you need to understand it. So please order the whole series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. And remember that it comes with a study guide. And please, please, please order the book. It's 464 pages from cover to cover. And the book is also called The Rapture, the Antichrist, the Tribulation, and End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. We need to be informed about what is going to take place when Jesus comes for the church and to raise the righteous from the dead. It is amazing, and we need to know what's going to happen after that. Because if we have family or friends that are left, they're going to experience the Antichrist and the Tribulation. What does the Bible really say about all of this? Please order this. Go online to order all these things now. And please remember that we want to pray for you. So when you reach out to us, please let us know how to pray. Just call the number on the screen and write it down so you'll always have that number near you, or you can send us an email. But Lord, I'm just rejoicing today about the future. You tell us that this should be comforting to us, and really it is, Lord. We thank you the grave is not the end, and we thank you there really will be a generation that escapes death and will be caught up to meet you in the air. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll see you in the next program. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit Renner.org.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.